The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and he said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from my stewardship, others may welcome me into their homes.' And he called in his master's debtors, one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he replied, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down quickly and write one for 50. And then to another the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' And he replied, 100 nors of wheat. And he said to him, 'Here is your promissory note, write down 80. And the master commended the dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you may be welcomed into eternal dwellings.'" The Gospel of the Lord. On this catechetical Sunday, it is important for us to offer an energetic statement of gratitude to all those who very quietly and very generously over many, many years, some of them, have been involved in our catechetical ministry. It's a real missionary endeavor, and it's something that goes on very quietly. It's important for us, every one of us, to somehow make a statement of recognition and gratitude. And so we do today. Speaking of catechetical issues, that gospel reading requires a lot of catechesis. There is an inordinate amount of commentary written on this gospel, discussing various nuances of the gospel, looking at the Greek, what this means, and how you interpret this gospel. One of the things that's unique about it, it's found only in Luke's book. And sometimes when you find the gospel, which is remembered in the other three gospels also, they tend to enrich and enlighten one another, the various remembrances. And when you find something like this, isolated by itself, only in Luke's gospel, then there is no enrichment coming from any other source. Much discussion is given to this steward when he called in his master's debtors and had them change their promissory note. Was he just giving up his own commission? Could it be that the promissory note would now pay the master what was owed, but would take his commission away? Is this possible? Was he devious? Was he a crook, or was he just clever? Much discussed in commentaries on this text. However, it is very clear from the text that there is something less than ideal about this man, that he was less than truthful, and he was an opportunist. So I, looking at this gospel, I wondered, what does this say to me? And I thought, maybe if I got to know this man. So I thought, What do I know about him? How could I get to know this man? And then I wondered, have I met this man in my own life? Have I met this kind of a person? I thought about that. The first thing I found remarkable about this fellow when I met him, he didn't have any friends. And therefore, when he hit his crisis, he called in these debtors and he said, I will make them my friends. And they became his friends, he thought, but the friends were like him, opportunistic, self-interested, maybe somewhat devious, clever, but not in the matter of the kingdom, clever in things of the world. These friends will fail. They will fail because their self-interest is what guides them. So a time will come when he will not feed their self-interest, then these friends will fail. They're not true friends. They are people who are seizing an opportunity for profit, taking advantage of the moment, so to speak. Kind of an interesting person to meet. And these are interesting friends to have, but don't rely on them. There's a thing called night talk. And this is talk that comes after somebody has a few drinks. And I've experienced a lot of night talk. You know, people become very religious after a few drinks. They tell me they love Jesus, you know, and I grew up an altar boy, and I used to serve Mass, and my mother said the rosary every day, and give me another drink, you know, and it just goes on like this. It's night talk. The next day, it means nothing. They're not reliable. It's somehow a variation of something which is real. So tell me, have you ever been in a crisis in your life? I mean a serious crisis now, that was life-altering. Something where you question the deepest part of who you are. Something that caused you to be fearful, to be anxious. Something that kept you awake at night. Have you ever gone through a crisis like this in your life? Something deep, profound. Something that might even be shattering. Has this ever happened to you in your life? And if it did, who did you call? Who stood by you in your time of crisis? Who understood you? Who affirmed you? Who supported you in your time of crisis? Or could it be that someone else going through a crisis came to you in a time of great travail? Wonder with me, did you stand with the person? Did you understand the person? Did you support the person? Did you affirm? Were you compassionate? Is this something that's real in this world? We have a lot of political discourse going on these days. And you wonder, are we dealing with people who are opportunistic? Are we dealing people who are crooks? Or are we dealing with people who are just clever? Or are they real? Look at the crisis we have in our communities at large. We have an immigration crisis. We've been struggling to find a way to heal families which are wounded and divided. We have homeless, poor people in our country. Who cares? Who stands with them? Who belongs to them? Minority people struggling for recognition. Who belongs to them? Who is it that's true, faithful, and reliable? And am I that way? Perhaps in my family. Somebody in my family going through some crisis, comes to me. Wonder with me if I stand with a person. Am I for real? In the church. Who are the people in the church who are wounded, who are set aside, who are made to feel there isn't a place for them at the table of the Lord? Here's a parable. And the parable is a story about this man who died, and he went down to hell. Must have been a bad guy. So he went down to hell. So he's down in the pit of hell, and his family decided, we've got to save him. So they get their powerful attorney, and they say, go down and see if you can negotiate his way, can find a way to legally get him, set him free. So the attorney goes down, and he says to the devil, open the gates. I need to discuss, to negotiate this man's release. But the gates remain closed. So the attorney comes back. He failed. Then they decide they'd send the portfolio manager, the guy with the money. So they sent the fellow down with the money, and he stood outside the gates, and he said, open the gates. I want to somehow pay for this man's release. We have money. We'll pay for it. We'll buy his freedom. But the gates remain shut. Finally, the man's mother goes down. And she says, open the gates and let me in. And the gates open. She will carry the sacrifice. She will share the burden. She will show up in the time of crisis. These are kingdom values. That's what this gospel is speaking about. Read Pope Francis in his Amor Letizia, in his love of the love of life here. How does the church deal with people? Real issues, not academic issues, not people sitting in high places. How do we deal with people who are struggling to come into the church, to find a place? This gospel has something to do, for me, with kingdom values, compassion, forgiveness, understanding. They're not clever, not self-serving, gifting, not devious, no secrets, no manipulation, no controlling. I'm willing to be honest, to be truthful, to be sacrificial, not self-interest now. When I read this gospel and I looked at it in every possible way, I read all the commentaries, and I came to the conclusion that it speaks about me in my own life. How much decency, honor, compassion, forgiveness, understanding, patience. How much of this is alive, real, and reliable? That's the inquisition of this gospel reading. And it touches me, and in some way, I believe, it touches every one of us. Open the gates and let me in. And the gates opened.